Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Good day, Mark.
Michael.
I haven't waxed and waned philosophically, so I'm going to start this week's poem, which is from the BMJ, with a very brief observation here, which is that if we monitor something carefully, it stands to reason that we're going to have better control and better outcomes than if we irregularly monitor something or watch it only occasionally. Well, that turns out not to be the case, not to be the case with this week's poem, but it's also the annals of the history of medicine, if there is such a thing, are filled with examples of us regularly monitoring things. Sometimes, you know, recommendations to monitor temperature from, you know, 70 or 80 years ago to Swan-Ganz catheters to fetal monitoring. You know, the idea, again, if we get data and we monitor, it's going to benefit people. Surely it will. I just remember the Swan-Ganz catheter readings plaguing me as a resident. At the time, it seemed that everybody, except maybe those with mild conjunctivitis, had a Swan-Ganz catheter floated, and it was my job to record and monitor all those pressures. And when I came in the morning, I had to have this, essentially an Excel spreadsheet, but it predated Excel by a long time. Anyways, now there's a large body of evidence suggesting that lots of these patients who had the Swan-Ganz catheters and the fetal monitors and certainly the Q20-minute body temperatures just don't benefit from it. There's a growing body of evidence, some of it pretty significant, suggesting that all those patients with type 2 non-insulin dependent diabetes, they might not benefit from that home monitoring that we've been pushing and nudging and urging and, you know, cajoling people to do for years. The clinical question that the article asks is, does home monitoring of blood glucose levels result in better management of patients with type 2 diabetes? Mark, what did they find?
Yeah, if you've come to one of our courses over the last year or so in Arizona or South Dakota or Cleveland, you know, one of the things we've talked about is this series of studies that have been done over the last 5 years or so looking at the value of home monitoring. And there have been some systematic reviews. This one took it a step further. So this is a type of systematic review, but they used patient-level data. So they found any randomized controlled trial in the literature comparing home glucose monitoring, and these are non-insulin requiring type 2 diabetics, with, you know, so self-monitoring versus no self-monitoring. And they got individual patient data from six studies that were similarly designed. And so they had a total of 2,552 patients. So it was kind of like one big study. They made the assumption, which I think is legitimate, that the studies were very similar in design. So they combined the individual patient level data. And they did intention to treat analysis, and they all of the studies were well designed in terms of their randomization and allocation, concealment, and all the things we like to see. And the average age of the patients was about 60 years. Most had had diabetes, or the median duration was about 3 years, and their baseline A1C was about 8.3%. So a moderately poorly controlled older group of, I think, pretty typical diabetics. So what they found after 6 months, the self-monitoring group had a slightly lower A1C, 0.25%. At 12 months, there was no difference. And the patient's age, their initial A1C, their sex, how long they'd had diabetes, none of those appeared to affect the results. So this is, you know, again, further evidence that home glucose monitoring doesn't really significantly improve control in patients with type 2 diabetes who aren't taking insulin. The decrease at 6 months was small, 0.25%, and at 12 months was essentially non-existent. And there really wasn't a subgroup either that appeared to benefit more. My take on it is that you know, if a patient has been monitoring, if they get comfort, if they get a sense of mastery or control over their disease by monitoring it, if they want to have it for when they feel sick, if they've had hypoglycemic episodes, you know, I think we shouldn't be yanking the monitors out of their hands and throwing them down the drain. But if someone is in a situation where they're well controlled and they're doing fine, they're not having problems, I really see no reason to beat them up about checking their sugar daily. I think it's probably helpful to have a monitor for when they get sick or when they get symptomatic, but you know, I don't think they need to be checking it multiple times a week or day.
Yeah, I just want to emphasize from the patient perspective. You know, I work in a community where my patients are pretty poorly educated, not particularly highly motivated. Many of them don't have English as their first language, and treating diabetes is a piece of work. I mean, it's a lot of social change. It's changing diet. It's getting exercise. It's, you know, dealing with living in a poor community where you can't go out and take walks, et cetera, et cetera. And so there are lots of social battles. And as you're suggesting, Mark, this just turns out to be a battle that isn't worth having. But for the group that they look at, I agree that this isn't something that we should be pushing.
Yeah. I mean, I have yet to see a study that demonstrated a clinically meaningful benefit from using monitoring. And there have been studies looking at newly diagnosed type 2 diabetics. There have been studies of older, younger, ones who've had diabetes for several years, ones who are poorly controlled. And basically, they've all been very consistent. They at best show a very small short-term reduction in A1C. And as we've discussed in other studies, that's probably not the most important thing for our type 2 diabetics anyway. You know, we need to be focusing on their blood pressure and possibly getting them aspirin and getting their lipids controlled. But tight control of diabetes is probably not helpful, particularly for this group where the mean age was 60.
A great poem. It really is one of those examples where the literature here is informing us not about some surrogate marker, but really about patient-oriented outcomes. Mark, thanks. So we'll talk with you again next week.
Okay, great.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.